Oh, you can do better. Hallelujah. Come on, praise the Lord, church. That Livingston here, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Getting a little Christmassy here. Hallelujah. It's good to hear Noel, Noel, and the sound of Noel filling the air. Last time I sang Noel was when I passed my driving test. I said, Noel. Noel anymore. Four times, fifth time, I finally passed. So I said, Noel. Then they said, you have to put P. I said, forget the P. I have seven P's this morning. Seven P's. I want us to turn to Psalm 23. Not one P, seven P's, right? Are you there? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. let me just pray. Father, we are so totally dependent on you. As we come to your word. Your word is like a diamond. Every time we turn it, we see a different facet. We pray, Lord, even as we heard Psalm 23 this morning, some of us must have said, oh, Psalm 23, I've heard that before. I pray that you break that spirit of familiarity.
Amen.
Even if it's a familiar psalm, even if we know it by heart, I pray that you would speak something of value and eternal significance. Through me, your servant. I pray that you use me as a spokesman for the sovereign. You will use me as the oracles of the Almighty this morning. You will use me, Lord, to speak your holy word. Father, to declare what you have laid on my heart. I pray that it will change the trajectory of our lives as it has changed mine. I pray that you will take the glory because this is all about you. The psalm is all about you. The word of God is all about you. We are here all about you. The worship was all about you. Lord, the preaching of your word is about you. And this morning, I don't want to focus on the sermon. I want to focus on Christ. Because Lord, if I focus on the sermon, the people will get a sermon. If I focus on you, Jesus, people will get Jesus. Amen. And we want Christ in us, the hope of glory, Amen. To be alive and well during this time. Lord, we don't know what's going on in our minds and our hearts. I don't know what's going on in the hearts of people, but you know it. Lord, we declare and we decree that 2024, the end of it, we will, Lord, end on a high. We will end in victory. We will end with a breakthrough in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, as we commit ourselves to hear your word. Amen. All God's people say it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. You know, Psalm 23 gives us the meaning and the cycle of life. And because of which any child or old person or anyone in between can understand that Psalm 23 is actually talking about the cycle of life. Verse 1 talks about how life begins. It has to begin with God. In the beginning was not video. In the beginning was God. In the beginning was God. And so the psalmist starts referring to God as a shepherd. Life begins in verse 1. But then in verse 2 to 5, it's the journey of life. And all of us have been there, done that. We are in the journey of life. And verse 6 is the ending. And how many know it's a glorious ending? I love Psalm 23 verse 6. I love it. Because it's a glorious ending. We were talking yesterday in the men's group. And it's not about how you start, it's how you finish. Mm-hmm. And you and I have a calling to finish well.
Amen.
I mean, if you can say, I'm going to finish well.
Amen.
And I'm not just talking about 2024. We will finish the race well.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so one of the best things that you can do, one of the best things that you can do is write your epitaph. Yeah. I finished 50 years. Well, I'm 51 not out. Okay, that's cricket language. I'm 51 not out. But you know, you gotta write your epitaph and then live life. Some of you are still thinking about it. I'll say that again. Write your epitaph. This is what is to be written in your tombstone. And then you live your life. You will see the difference it'll make. Your priorities will change. Your lifestyle will change. Your prayer life will change. Your mission in life will change. The way you interact with people will change. Because you have already determined what people will say about you when you die.
Amen.
Some of you are getting it. Some of you are getting it. Some of you are getting it. Wake up. Alright? So life begins, and then you have the journey, and then you have the ending. The Lord is my shepherd. Know God as a loving Father. As a loving, I'm just giving you an overview, and then we'll get to it verse by verse. It's going to be interesting. God is my Father who art in heaven, my protector, my provider, and my guide. He is my shepherd, and so I am his sheep. As a sheep, I trust him, I follow him. And in knowing God as a loving Father, I am also his beloved child. And so I shall not want. I have all I want. I am contented. I have no lack. I can do all things through Christ. But in the journey, you have the good times of the plain. You have the tough and dark times of the valley. And then you also have payback time. In the good times of the plain, my food he provides. He makes me lie down in green pastures. For me, the sheep to eat and rest peacefully. He leads me beside still waters for me to drink and enjoy. My strength he restores. He restores my soul. My strength to move on. This morning I was praying, Lord, if you can restore my soul, restore my voice. I woke up with no voice. I was trying to talk and nobody could hear me in the house. You've been there. My wife Rachel was like, why didn't you ask pastor to preach or somebody else to preach? I said, no, even if I stop somewhere in between, there are 10 preachers in the audience, so I'm okay. And then there are women preachers as well. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. You're not excited about them? There are women preachers as well. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So we're a blessed church. We're a blessed congregation. He restores my soul, my strength to move on.
Amen.
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 We move on with God. My walk in righteousness he leads. He leads me in paths of righteousness towards his calling for me, for his own name's sake. It is he who holds my hand and not me struggling to hold his. I'm eternally secured because I'm held by him. In the tough and dark times of the valley, the training and the exercises to build me up, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Thank God it's only a shadow. It's only a shadow. It feels like. It looks like, but it's not the real death. Come on. The tough times are the persecutions. Then you have the betrayals that we have to go through. But thank God it's not Job's kinds of sufferings. I don't know how many of us would have survived that. But no matter what, it cannot cut me off from the love of God. He is with me to go through it. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff. The staff that can put me or pull me back from danger. They comfort me. And then it's payback time. There's victory over enemies. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. There's the blessing and the promotion. You anoint my head with oil. We're going to meditate a bit there because the title of my message is The Shepherd's Anointing. I'm sure you're going to be blessed this morning.
Amen.
Sit with expectant hearts. Where there's expectancy, God moves powerfully.
Amen.
Amen. Where there's faith, God has to move. The only thing that gets heaven's attention is your faith. And when you say, Lord, I believe, heaven stands up for you. Amen. When Stephen was stoned and, you know, when his faith made him stand up in spite of all that was going on against him, against all odds, he stood up. Heaven stood up and saluted him.
Yes.
Stephen the martyr. And that's what happens every time we take a step of faith, a leap of faith. God moves. It moves heaven. There's nothing else that moves heaven. It is your faith. My father-in-law was a minister. I asked him, is there anything else that moves heaven? He said, your tears. You tried everything? Try crying. Try tears. It's wisdom. Because God stores our tears in heaven. Amen. Your tears are not in vain. God stores it in heaven. So he prepares a table. He anoints my head with oil. We'll get there. But then the blessing and the promotion is beyond our expectation. My cup overflows.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. 2024, you are going to end with an overflow.
Amen.
Let there be a cost of living crisis in the whole of UK, in the whole of the nation. But you and I know that our God is a God of Elijah. He will provide for you. Amen. You're not going to wake up staring at the bills. You're going to wake up staring at the face of Jesus. Amen. Jehovah Jireh, my God shall supply all my needs. He will pay my bill. I tell my family, if it is a bill, it is his bill. Yeah. He will take care of it. Hallelujah. It's God's bill. And if it's God's will for us to be here, it's God's will. If it's God's will for you to travel, it's God's will.
Amen.
If it's God's will for you to eat your food, it's God's will. He will take care of it. So I want that to, you know, go off from your mind, you know, with all the Christmas shopping. Somebody asked me yesterday, so did you finish your Christmas shopping? I said, I didn't even start. We haven't even started a Christmas shopping. It's all right. It's all right. If you look at the Christmas scene, it was not the pomp and the merchandising and the commercialism that we see about Christmas. There was hardly any light in this table. The whole place was stinking. And in that place, and a kind of, you know, the word that we use, a God-forsaken place, Bethlehem. Nobody would want to go there. Some Timbuktu, somewhere else. And there, in the midst of the insignificant, Christ our King is born. And so you may feel insignificant. You may feel that there's some need. And you know, you may feel that you're not like the others running around shopping and dropping. Thank God you're not dropping. Thank God you're alive. Thank God you're still straight. Are you with me?
Amen.
Amen. Don't shop and drop. Amen. That's not a good thing. Hallelujah. Shop if you can. Shop if you want. But then continue your journey and give some to others as well as you do that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus is in your life. And that's all that matters. I want that thought to go from your heart and your mind. You know, how am I going to end this season? You're going to end this season strong.
Amen.
You're going to end this season victorious.
Amen.
You're going to end this season overcoming.
Amen.
You're going to end this season with a breakthrough.
Amen.
Because the Lord is your shepherd and he has promised that your cup will overflow.
Amen.
How will you end? You will end well. You will finish well.
Amen.
Because David, as he looks, he's saying, he's giving a meaningful, you know, life and reflection. Filled with the goodness and mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Psalm 23 verse 6. All things work for good to those that love him. And so goodness and mercy will follow me all the days. It's a blessing, not just for a lifetime, but for all eternity. Because see, there's an eternal home with the Lord, in heaven, with him, with our friends and our families. People who have gone before will be there waiting. Do you know that your friends, your family, who believed and who lived in Jesus and who died in Jesus are waiting for you to complete the race? They're cheering you on. They're your best cheerleaders. So even when people makes you feel lonely, even when people, you know, disconnect from you, even when they unfriend you, even when they block you, even when they do things to isolate you, God is looking at you. And in that wilderness, in that lonely bar of your life, in that time of loneliness, in that time of brokenness, that's the best place to be, because you're in the perfect will of God. Not in his good, acceptable will. You are in the perfect will of God. When you are cut off from everything and all you have is Jesus. Because all you need is only Jesus.
Amen.
In heaven with him and our friends and our families who have gone before. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So here's the cycle. Life begins, the journey, and the ending. That was just my overview. I'm getting into my message. Now, I don't know what translation you have. I don't know, it must be the King James. King James is beautiful. Do you know the King James is beautiful?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, the Thou King James Version, Thou had made Thou spiritual and original. And notice the difference. If in the Message Bible it says, Mama, I'm hungry. Mama, I'm hungry. In the Amplified Version, it will say, Mommy, I'm hungry. I'm famished. I'm starving. In the NIV, New International Version, will say, Mother, Mother, I am hungry. But in the KJV, in the King James Version, it will say, listen, henceforth, let it be known unto thee, birth giver, that my belly consists of emptiness. And I feel like a bottomless pit. I can eat anything that I want. Come on, it's okay to laugh in church, right?
Yeah.
We don't endure church, we enjoy church. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Give the Lord a hand. Now let's get to the serious bit. I have to prepare you for this. Now Lord, look at verse 1. We're going to follow verse by verse. Look at verse 1. It says the Lord. Not some Lord. Lord means a man of noble rank or high office. A noble man. There are many lords in the parliament as well. Right? Some of them are good for nothing. I don't know. The kind of voting they do. That's why I said, okay, I don't mean to offend, but I don't mean to be politically correct either. Because the kind of voting they do makes me wonder, why are they lords? Why do they call them lords? You promote death? You promote abortion? You promote assisted suicide? No matter what you call it. What fancy terms you use. Death is death. And life is life.
Yes.
The devil comes to steal, kill and destroy. Yes. Jesus said, I have come to give life. And life to the full.
Amen.
And you and I should be bold to say it from the pulpits in the UK. We don't have to be worried about offending people. Let them deport you. It's okay. I have the Lord with me.
Amen.
Only one amen.
Amen.
The Lord. Not some Lord. The Lord is Yahweh. What is the word there? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord. Who is this Lord? He is Jehovah. He is Yahweh. He is Adonai. He is the Master. He is the Lord. He is the God of Israel. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the Lord of lords. He is the Lord of hosts. Jesus himself is the Lord.
Amen.
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 This is the Lord. It means, the Lord means owner or master.
Yes.
None of the lords in the parliament owns my life. My owner and my master is Adonai, the Lord. Who is in heaven, the creator, sustainer of heaven and earth is my Lord. Jesus, my Savior, is my owner and master. Is Jesus Lord of your life?
Yes.
Amen.
Those who are watching online, is Jesus Lord of your life?
Amen.
You can make him Lord. For Jesus to be Lord of your life means that he is the ruler, that he is the boss, the master of your whole life, not a part. Your whole life. We're talking about integrity yesterday. Integrity comes from that word integers. Means whole numbers, not a fraction. And that's how it is. If Jesus is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. Jesus has to be Lord of all. That means every area of your life must come and surrender to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
You have to offer your life as a living sacrifice. That's the problem. We offer our life on, and as a living sacrifice, then we crawl off the altar. Because we're living, right? But it has to stay there. Let the holy fire burn. Every sin and every dross and every wickedness from our hearts. You say, oh, I'm not wicked. Yeah. The Bible says that the heart of man is desperately wicked.
Yeah.
And only Jesus can turn a sinful, wicked heart. The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. And only Jesus can transform our sinful, wicked hearts and make it to righteousness. Now we can say, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Well, you missed a chance to say amen, some of you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. And then it says, the Lord is. Everybody say is.
Is.
Not was. Not will be. Is. The Lord is. That means in the present tense. How many of you can understand the great I am now? He is the God of the past, the present and the future. But he is the great I am. I am that I am. What does that mean? I am what or whatever you will want me to be. You want me to be your provider, I will be. You want me to be your healer, I will be. You want me to be there, I am Jehovah Shammah, I am there. You want me to be your shepherd, Rohi, I will be there. You want me to be your victory, I am Jehovah Nissi. You want me to be your sanctifier, I am there. You want me to be your righteousness, I am there. I am what I am means I will be what I will be to you. Whatever you want me to be, I will be to you.
Hallelujah.
That's what it means. That's all that it means. I am that I am. The great I am is with you. The great I am is right here, right now with us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Because the Lord is. Not the Lord was, the Lord will be. The Lord is. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the Old Testament and the New Testament refrains the same thing. He is the same. He is the very present help in time of need. My brother, my sister, I don't know what's going on in your mind. You may have a lot of issues and problems and challenges as you face the end of this year. And as you face this Christmas season. Everybody around you is celebrating. You don't have lights in the house and that's okay. There's no star in the house. That's okay. There's a star in your heart. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. But thank God there's food on the table. You have warm clothes to wear. You have things that are enough. That's all it is. The Lord takes care of all my need. That's enough. Amen. Hallelujah. And so this God who is my shepherd. Everybody say my
shepherd. My shepherd.
My shepherd. Mine. He's mine. He is mine. That's a personal relationship. See, God is a personal God. God is not a concept. God is not a philosophy. God is not an ism. God is not a religion. God is a personal God. Amen? He is a personal God and He gives you a personal relationship. And I can hold my heart, hand on my heart and say, He is mine. He is my shepherd. Do you know Jesus this morning? Do you know Jesus as your shepherd? Story is told of an orator. You must have heard this before. There was a wonderful orator. I think he was Greek. And he came to the village square. Like the high street. The high street in those days was a village square. He used to come and give a wonderful oration of Psalm 23. And everybody used to stand up and clap. Always used to receive a standing ovation. And he was the talk of the town. Nobody would miss his oration. The day would be announced. They would be there. Everybody, the whole town would be there. People from neighboring villages would be there. One day as he was giving, stood up to speak, a little boy came up to him, scratched him and said, "Can I do the honors today?" "So what do you mean?" "So I want to recite Psalm 23. "Do you know it by heart?" "So I'll try." He said, "You know, I do it every time and, you know, the crowd applauds. I don't know how they're going to respond to you." He said, "I don't care." So he said, "Okay, let me give this boy a chance." And so he stands up and he recites Psalm 23 so beautifully. And when it was over, there was no clapping. There was nobody giving a standing ovation. Nobody is cheering for him. And as this orator, master orator, looked at the audience, every face had tears. They were all crying. And he said, "Little boy, I do this so skillfully well, and people clap for me. Nobody stood for you, nobody clapped for you, but you have literally moved an audience to tears. What's your secret?" He looked up and said, "Uncle, I don't have any secret. Maybe you know the Psalm 23 pretty well. I know the shepherd." I know the shepherd. And that's what makes the difference. It's not about by-hearting. It's not about memorizing Psalm 23. It's about living it. Yes. It's about knowing God as the shepherd. Do you know Jesus as your shepherd? Are you his sheep? Maybe you know the psalm, but do you know the shepherd? You can this morning. Do you know the shepherd? You can. The Lord is my shepherd, and so I shall not want. Remember again a Sunday school story. A little child was asked to say Psalm 23, and this girl stood up and said, "The Lord is my shepherd," and then she forgot. That happens. Don't laugh. It happens to you and me. You can sometimes stand in front of people and you freeze. If you're still not sure, you have not written an exam in your life. Sometimes you come to the exam, you see the question paper and you're blank. I mean, you studied the whole day, you studied the whole week. You didn't sleep well. And you're there, you're blank. So this little girl is standing there blank. Bye-bye. Said, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Sunday school teacher said, "Yeah, go on. Go on, Lord is my shepherd." And after a while, this little girl said, "The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want."
Amen.
And the Sunday school teacher wanted to come and correct her. "It's not I shall, it's I shall not want." She said again, "And that's all I want."
Amen.
And the Sunday school teacher said, "Maybe she's right. I know the scripture, but maybe that's what it means." A little child understood. If the Lord is your shepherd, that's all you want.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
That's all you need in your life. Make him the shepherd. That's the first verse. If you get your first button right, normally you get the rest of the buttons right. Make Jesus Lord of your life. If he's your shepherd, everything else will follow. Don't expect verse 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 in your life if you have not made the Lord your shepherd.
Amen.
And don't ever think that Jesus is the shepherd for every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there. No. Okay? I don't know the names of women, so whatever, Sarah, Naomi, whatever. You know, don't think it's for everybody. You have to make him your shepherd. It's not just for the common people. See, he's Father of all. I know that. He shepherds people, yeah. But when you make him your shepherd, there's a difference.
Amen.
David understood it. David understood it so clearly. And he understood. So seek first the kingdom of God. You put God first. All these things will be added to you. Everything will, in life will fall in place when you make Jesus king. When you make him shepherd of your life. I shall not want. What does that mean? True prosperity is coming to that place of no lack. Prosperity is not having a big house, big car, big bank account, whatever big, you know. It's about coming to a place of no lack. That means every area of your life is covered. Can you say amen?
Amen. Amen.
End of 2024, church, you have no lack.
Amen.
Amen.
You may not think so, but the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Amen.
You have no lack. You may say, yeah, the challenges are still there. I know. The challenges are still there. Bills are still to be paid. All that is true. Don't worry about it. The Lord takes care of it. The Lord takes care of it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There are some testimonies that I can't speak publicly because I'm going online. That is what I'm saying. But God does amazing miracles in your life.
Amen.
Yes.
Some of them you can only testify in small groups. But I want you to know, God is faithful to provide all your need. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches. His riches in glory in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
He will do it his style. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
A king once offered somebody a handsome amount. And one of the chief advisors came and said, why are you offering this fellow from the street so handsomely, so much money? He looked back at the advisor and said, I have to do it king's style. You can do it as an advisor's style. I have to do it king's style.
Amen.
When a king gives, he has to give it royally. Some of you understood, some of you are still looking at me blank. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your provision was prepared long before a need came.
Amen.
I say that again.
Amen.
Your provision was prepared long before there was a need in your life.
Amen.
When Abraham started climbing the mountain, I don't know how he got permission from his beautiful wife, Sarah, that morning. What are you going to tell your wife? I'm going to kill our son. Oh, thank you very much. Have a bit of coffee and go. No wife will say that. But as Abraham was climbing that mountain, it took 3 days. You know what? When, you know the story, God interrupts. He says, look, and he looks and he finds a ram. Do you think that ram popped out of heaven? Do you think that ram just came just like that? Oh, I know God can do a creative miracle. He can. But I don't think it was that way. I think when Abraham started the journey and left his tent, a ram started a journey somewhere. And it both came aligned. It came and clashed. There is a point at the cross where heaven and earth meets.
Yeah.
There is a point in your life when your provision will meet your need.
Amen.
I don't know when, I don't care when, but I know it will. Because that's God's style of functioning.
Amen.
When Jesus was given on the cross, he did just that. Heaven and earth met. Amen. There was a vertical and a horizontal connection. And at the cross point, exactly right there, the provision was made. He becomes the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So if God can provide a lamb for Abraham in a wilderness, in a mountain, and if God can provide Jesus as a savior of the whole world, he can provide for you. He can provide for you, my brother. He can provide for you, my sister. So I want you to be at a place of rest, because that's what the next verse talks about. He makes me lie down. Allow God to bring you to a place of rest. One of my pastor friends in America, he said this. I liked it so much, I wrote it down. He said, you are at your best when you operate from a place of rest.
Amen.
You are at your best when you operate from a place of rest. And his logic is this. I've heard him say that to me straight when we interfaced once. We were sharing a stage in India somewhere. And he said this straight. He said, why I believe in this rest is this. He believed it so much that he changed the name of his church to Rest Church. It was something as Brazen Grace Fellowship or something. Now it's called Rest Church. He believes in it so much. You know what he says? Logic is this. He says this. The Lord revealed it to me. He said, God always operates from a position of rest.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So what a revelation. We're always in a hurry. We're in a worry. We're always, you know, either too slow or we are too much in a hurry. Yes or no? We're either too lazy or we are too much in a hurry. Very busy. Busy, somebody said, is an acronym for being under Satan's yoke. Busy. Busy is being under Satan's yoke. And some of us are too busy. We never find rest. But God wants us to come to that place of rest. Bible says God sits in the heavens and laughs. Sitting is a posture of rest. You see, I'm the only one stressed out in this room right now. Because I'm speaking. You all are in a position of rest.
Amen.
Are you with me? You understand? I'm too stressed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm not. I'm just kidding. But it's a place of rest. It's a position. Not of inactivity. Because he's sitting in the heavens and laughing at his enemies. Somebody says, talks about Third World War. Headlines. He sits in the heavens and he laughs. Because he holds the timetable, not some news editor. Are you with me? Are you with me? News headlines may be scary, but God is in control. CNN is not in control. The BBC is not in control. We know the issues that they are facing inside. They have to put their house in order before they make the world all right. Yes or no?
Yeah.
But that's another story. But they think they own this narrative. No. Bible says God sits in the heavens and he laughs at his enemies. So sitting is a posture of rest, but it's not a posture of inactivity. Bible says he leads me beside still waters. You are at your best when you operate from a place of rest. So I'm asking you this morning, are you in a hurry or worry mode? Or are you in a take it easy, rest mode? It is spiritual, by the way, to take it easy. Because when you know God is in control, not your boss, not the government, not the immigration officer, not the fellow in that big office multinational company who is a CEO. God is in control. When you know that, you operate from a position of rest.
Amen.
And you're at your best. And you operate from a place of rest.
Amen.
What mode are you in this morning? Think about it. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice. Are you hearing his voice? By the way, are you his sheep?
Amen.
I can't assume. Just because you come to Life Center, I'm not assuming that you are his sheep. Only you know. You have to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Okay. When you say the Lord is my shepherd, we know you're a sheep. But as a sheep, are you hearing his voice? Listen, it is your right and your privilege to listen to the voice of God as his sheep. Amen.
Amen.
You can hear his voice. And God is a good God. He speaks to us. You know, in the midst of the crisis of life, in the midst of the clamor, in the midst of the glamour of the day, in the midst of everything that's going on, the season's noise that is there, the commercialism of all of that, can you hear his voice? And if you hear his voice, it will still you, it will calm you. How do you recognize God's voice? There's a difference between God's voice and Satan's voice. Listen to this. God's voice will always still you. It stills you. Satan's voice always rushes you. God's voice leads you. Satan's voice pushes you. God's voice reassures you. Satan's voice frightens you. God's voice enlightens you. Satan's voice confuses you. God's voice encourages you. Satan's voice discourages you. God's voice comforts you. Satan's voice worries you. God's voice calms you. Satan's voice obsesses you. God's voice convicts you. Satan's voice condemns you. Are you hearing God's voice? Are you hearing Satan's voice. Listen, God is a good God. God is a God of love and He's a God of order. He is never too early in your life. He's never too late. He's always on time. Amen?
Amen.
And so there is things happening in your life, but I want you to know that God is in control and He's always on time. And if God is in control and He's always on time, I can be at rest. God works not with chronos time, the clock or the calendar. He works with the kairos time. There's an appointed time for things to happen in your life. Your breakthrough will come at the kairos time.
Amen.
Your breakthrough will come at that kairos appointed time in your life. He's always right on time. And God's plans for your good and for your welfare. And if the voice you are hearing doesn't sound like those things, be assured they are not from Him. Be discerning. What is the voice that you're hearing? Be discerning. Sometimes we choose to go our own way, our own path. And we end up in trouble. So it says He leads me in green pastures, right? Takes me to green pastures. Green pastures where the grass is lush, ready to eat. Lush, plenty. Green pastures. But sometimes when we choose our own way, the Bible says there is a way which seems right to man. The end is?
Death.
The end is destruction. The end is disaster. The end is death. It's not going to go well if you take your own. If I say, I'm going to do it my way, that's a song they're going to sing in hell. I did it my way. They will still say, how great I am in hell. But in heaven we will sing, how great thou art. I will say, I did it God's way.
Amen.
That's why Jesus, before going to the cross, not my will but yours be done.
Amen.
That's what separates you and me from the others. Wrong. Are you with me? There is a difference. There's a marked difference between the righteous and the wicked. There's a difference between a believer and an unbeliever.
Amen.
The Bible says that. Like it or not, it's there.
Amen.
And so there is a difference between those who go to heaven, which is non-smoking. For those who go to hell, just smoking. Forever. Forever. Think about it. Forever smoking. Oh, I don't want to go there. But you know, you do your own thing, you'll end up in some green pastures of a different kind. I've always wondered why most hospital bed sheets are green. Most hospital bed sheets, anywhere you travel in the world, are green. I don't know why. And sometimes you look at the fellow, say, yeah, he's in green pastures right now. He did it his way, and he's ended up on a hospital bed. I'm not saying everybody goes to hospital is like that. But for some people, God has to get you to a hospital bed and put you in green pastures so that you can get heaven's attention. And in the ICU, God says, I see you. But green pastures in the Bible is a place of rest. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, we are the sheep of His pasture. Are you a sheep? Is God your shepherd? Green grass. I remember a pastor in Bombay. His church was growing. He left some big organization, some big denomination, and started his own church. And his church was growing. And so everybody was leaving some other churches and growing to his church. So I asked the pastor, you know, everybody's saying you're sheep stealing. He said, no, Anil, I don't do any sheep stealing. I just grow some grass. People come. I just grow some grass. People come. I said, that's interesting. No, we don't believe in sheep stealing. We just have to feed the people and people will come. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sheep will somehow find green pastures. Because for the sheep, the cycle is eat, rest, repeat. Eat, rest, repeat. Some of you are feeling guilty. You know, you come to eat here and you get your spiritual food and through the week we don't see you. You're like submarines. You go down and then Sunday morning you're again up here, right? We are back. We are back in action.
Amen.
Yeah, I didn't want you to say amen to that, but anyway. Eat, rest, repeat. Yeah. God bless you, sister. Sometimes we do that. But sheep is like that. The shepherd knows that is the cycle of the sheep. And so we have to have not just weekly sermons, we need to have daily manna.
Amen.
Come on, come on. We need to have daily manna. The Lord needs to speak to you daily.
Amen.
So whether you're driving a car, you're doing your dishes at home, You're doing something in an office, whatever, let the Lord speak to you. Allow God to speak to you. Allow God to speak to you. He does. And He leads you beside still waters. Still waters, not rushing waters. Still waters that you can drink and enjoy peace. That's refreshment. I'm only in verse 2. Let me move on. Verse 3. God is a God of restoration. He will exchange your weakness for His strength. Remember Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to 31. I'm not getting there. But if you wait, if you are waiting on the Lord, that means if you're entwined on the Lord, if you are like an ivy or a money plant, a vine entwined on a tree like that, if you're leaning, depending, trusting on the Lord, He will renew, He will exchange or restore your strength. That means He will give His strength for your weakness.
Amen.
That's what renew means. So you must be dependent on the Lord. You must be leaning on the Lord. You must be trusting in the Lord. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And when you do that, you will realize that God's strength will be made perfect in our life. And in your weakness, His strength will be made perfect. And then He leads you in righteousness for His sake. And through the tough and the dark times of the valley, in part of life's journey in the road of ministry, you come to that place where you have valleys in front of you. It's not just about mountain talks. Thank God for camps and conferences and, you know, great times of men's meeting and women's lunch and all that. Praise God for all of that. But those are mountain tops. And then life throws you into the valley, and that's where you need to know your value. That just came. When you're thrown in the valley, that's when you need to know your value.
Amen.
In a seminar, a man took a 100-pound note, showed it to everybody. Who wants it? Hands went up, and then he dropped it on the floor, and then took it and said, who wants it? A few more hands, you know, up here and there went up, and then he spat on the note. Now who wants? Only one or two hands went up, and then he put it back on the ground and really scratched it. Now the note is dirty. He lifted up, and still one hand went up. Boy, you must be really needy, he thought. No, he said, no. I got the lesson that you're trying to teach. No matter how the note is, it's still a 100-pound note.
Mm-hmm.
I can take it to the bank.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He said, you got it. Your value is known when you're in the valley.
Amen.
No.
Praise God for the mountaintops. Praise God for opportunities like this. We can feed on God's word. But then, Monday morning, you are there. You're alone, isolated. You're in your room. You don't know what to do. Everything is staring at you. You don't know. And there, if you can experience the presence of God, that is where truly it really matters. In the valley, you find your value.
Amen.
No matter how life has bruised you, no matter how life has battered you, no matter how life has spit at you, how many people mocked you, it doesn't matter. Your value is not lost, because Christ in you is the hope of glory.
Amen.
You are valuable in heaven's eyes. Each of you are valuable in heaven's eyes. Can you say amen?
Amen.
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 Amen. I will not fear any evil. It's a choice to fear no evil, because His presence is more than enough for me. Verse 5, it says it's payback time. I will get there. But verse 6 says there's a commitment that I make. I will be in the house of the Lord forever. A commitment through all eternity, not just a lifetime. Through all eternity, He's going to be with me forever. I want to say something here. Look at verse 1 and 4. 1 to 4. Verse 1 to 4. David is thinking of his life as a shepherd boy, but not forgetting his roots. He's not forgetting his roots. He's now a king. He's not forgetting his roots. He's thinking as a shepherd boy, and he says, God, you are my shepherd. But verse 5 and 6. David is now a king, and he knows what it is to host in a palace. So he talks about the banquet. And now he sees himself, not just as a king, but he sees God as king. Alright? And so verse 1 to 4, God being a shepherd who provides and protects the sheep. That's the picture there. But verse 5 to 6, God being a host who is hosting this banquet and inviting His guests. One is a snapshot in the wilderness. One is a snapshot in a palace. Are you with me? David, once who was a shepherd boy, now a king, understands both. He's been there, done that. And interestingly, with these two pictures, David considers himself not as the shepherd, but as the sheep.
Amen.
He says, God, you are the shepherd. I'm just the sheep. And He is not considering himself as the host. He is the king, he can. But he says, God, you are my king. You are the one who hosts. I'm just a guest. I'm feasting at your table. Are you with me? Did you get that? And so somebody said there are seven characteristics of who God is in this psalm. And I want to share that and then get to my main verse. I've just started. This is the essence of Psalm 23. I'm not expanding this. Number one, the person of God. Number two, the provision of God. Number three, purpose of God. Number four, the promise of God. Number five, prosperity of God. And number six, number five, protection of God. Number six, prosperity of God. And number seven, the presence of God. That's the essence. That is the essence of this psalm. You see, it's not about David, it's not about us. It's about God.
Amen.
And here are the seven P's. Person of God, provision of God, purpose of God, promise of God, protection of God, and prosperity of God and the presence of God. As I close, verse 5. It says, you anoint my head with oil. I can't close without this. Because this is beautiful. Verse 5 says, he anoints my head with oil. Did you know that the anointing looks good on you? There's something called the shepherd's anointing. Every shepherd in Israel carried oil with him, always. A mixture of olive oil, fragrant frankincense, and myrrh, which was a natural painkiller. To anoint means to rub, to smear, to apply. I had the privilege of raising four daughters, and the joy of applying oil on their head. But anointing oil is different. But it's the same thing in terms of the act, applying, smearing, to rub. That's what it means to anoint. What does the anointing oil mean in the Bible? It's mentioned at least 20 times in the Bible. The primary purpose of the anointing oil was to sanctify, to set the anointed person or object apart as holy. But there's a deep secret in this verse. Listen, David as a shepherd boy understood it. In the rainy season, in the rainy spring season in Israel, lambs used to graze in the fields, and the sharp blades of grass cut the tiny noses of these lambs. And this is happening in the desert, in the wilderness area. And then on top of that, the sheep were attacked by swarms of flies that invaded their heads, causing pain as they fed on their brains. You know, these flies lay their eggs in the tiny wounds in the noses of the sheep. And the eggs would hatch. Once the eggs hatch, it becomes maggots. The maggots then would work their way to the nasal passage and would come to the brain and would create havoc for the sheep. And they were so desperate that many of the sheep would bang their heads against the rocks. They would bang their heads against the trees that they could find. And some of them would be bleeding to death. And the shepherd saw this. The shepherd just didn't watch this and say, okay, let me give a good funeral. No. The shepherd did something unusual. The shepherd carries this oil, and when this happens, when the shepherd sees the sheep running frantically, it knows that the flies are attacking. And he does something. So in order to protect the them, the shepherd applied the oil. He rubbed the oil. The oil was a natural repellent that kept the flies away. The flies were like tormentors. But the oil kept it away. And this practice carries a spiritual lesson for us. You see, in the Bible, flies represent demons. And the devil is called, did you know, Beelzebub. Beelzebub means the prince of flies. The prince, the lord of flies. He's also a lord, by the way. He's also a lord. He's not the lord. He's lord, a lord of flies. He's a lord of flies. And he's a lord of lies as well. Right?
Yeah.
He tells a lot of lies, and so God gave him the title, the Prince of Lies. You missed a chance. Yeah. So the devil is not only the Prince of Lies, he's also the Prince of Lies. But every spiritual battle begins in the mind, yes or no?
Yes.
If the devil gains access to it, he influences emotions and actions. And sometimes the devil torments us and terrifies us. He terrorizes us in our wounds of the past. Weak spots, sore spots, bringing agony and pain. He'll remind you, this happened when you were 5 years old. This happened when you were 13. This happened, remember, in this place and that place. And memories begin to haunt you. You know what I'm talking about? And the devil uses that for his advantage. And that's why we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's why we need the shepherd's oil to be rubbed on us. That shepherd's oil, that anointing oil of the Holy Spirit protects our minds and keeps us sane. That's why it's crucial to cultivate a life filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if we continue allowing the devil to work havoc in our lives, you know what? It will lead us to suicide. It will lead us to self-harm. Some people go into cults and false religion, and some to psychiatrists. You know why? Because they are like sheep, desperate, trying to hit the head and onto every tree and rock. You see people like that?
Yeah.
I've seen people many times. I stood in South Queensbury and I've seen, oh, somebody jumped off the bridge and there's an ambulance going, and all of the police and all of that. Why would that young person jump off a bridge? You know what? It was probably tormented. Tormented by the demons that are there. Some of you may say, that's not real. It's real. I'm not saying every time it's like that. But many times, people commit suicide and they do self-harm. It's because of demonic activity. It's the flies. The demons are flying all over you. But I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm just telling you the reality. You have Jesus inside of you.
Amen.
Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world.
Amen.
Christ in you is the hope of glory. And the anointing oil rubs it off. And so what am I saying this afternoon? Come daily to the good shepherd. Come daily to the great shepherd. Come daily to the chief shepherd of your souls, Jesus Christ himself. And that anointing will change your life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So your mind will be like that of Jesus.
Amen.
And you will be like him all the days of your life. What does the anointing do in your life? It gives you freshness. It makes you look good. The anointing gives you fragrance. It makes you smell good. The anointing gives you freedom. It makes you feel good. You know, when the oil is applied on the sheep, you know what happens? All the lice, the ticks, the bugs, the flies, the pests, the maggots, the worms, the insects all fall down and they die.
Amen.
And when the anointing oil is rubbed on you, this afternoon as we're going to pray together, I'm trusting the Lord to apply his anointing oil once again on our life.
Amen.
Amen. If there are cracks and crevices that needs to be filled, so be it. If there are things from the past that's still haunting you, let the Lord apply oil. And let that be dealt with once and for all. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Notice the results of the anointing in Psalm 92 verse 10. You have poured over me fresh oil. Verse 11 says, victory over our enemies. Verse 12 says, flourishing like the palm tree, growing like the cedars of Lebanon. Verse 13 says, planted in the house of the Lord, flourishing in the courts of the Lord. Verse 14 says, fruitfulness even to the old age, evergreen, you're full of sap and green. Amen. We will be like that. Verse 15, declaring God's uprightness, saying boldly, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
Amen.
Wow, my cup overflows. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. When God pours out the anointing oil and fills up the vessels of our lives, our cups run over.
Amen.
The blessings refuse to be contained. His generosity knows no limits. His blessings to us are pressed down, shaken together until they overflow into our laps, into our bosom. The anointing of God gives us strength when we are weak. And in a place of sorrow, unspeakable joy will spring up instead. When those around us quake, they shake in fear, we will abound with faith and courage. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Under the anointing, every burden will be lifted. Every yoke will be destroyed in Jesus' name. Mountains will be tossed into the sea. And every crooked path will be rolled out like a red carpet before us. These overflowing blessings ripple out to our homes and children too. They bubble up in our places of worship. They bubble up in our places of business. They bubble up in the marketplace. They spring up in our churches and of course into our communities, our neighborhoods, and into the society. And even in the presence of our enemies or in the frightening shadows of the valley, the very valley of death, he continues to fill our cups.
Amen.
God's goodness and mercy chase us down and overtake us every day of our lives.
Amen.
Let's close our eyes. May the oil of his anointing, the shepherd's anointing, saturate your very soul right now. You are here on purpose. You're listening to me on purpose. Those who are watching online, you're there on purpose. You could have just scrolled by. You're watching on purpose. And if the Lord is speaking to you, I want you to open up your heart to him. Open up your heart. May the oil of His anointing saturate your very soul. Because God is a God of restoration. He will restore your soul. No matter what the devil has done in your life, he has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus has come to give life and life to the full. He gives you abundant life. He gives you eternal life. He gives you life forever. May His blessings flow from you in such measure that everything you touch is anointed. Everything you touch is sanctified. Everything you touch is set apart by the Holy One of Israel. The Lord is my shepherd. I hope He's yours. If not, you can make Him your shepherd. This afternoon, the anointing oil is here in this room. I want us to stand up in God's presence. I know my time is up. I want us to stand up in God's presence and just allow the anointing oil to touch us. Hallelujah.